We pray that as we look at it together now, you would open our hearts, that we might be transformed by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are we okay, Tom? We got we're trying to record the sermons at the moment, so I'm assuming that we're all right. Shall I carry on? Oh, we've got the thumbs up. That's good. Now then, it's been a big week for Dave, as we know already. But Dave's obviously we've just done a little bit of confession. There, Dave's got a little bit of something to confess tomorrow afternoon. Where are you going to... Oh, I bet it's a bit mean, isn't it? Really? He did tell me I could say this, but yeah, he's got to do one of those speed awareness courses. Oh, yes. There you are, look, yeah, a bit of contrition there from the front. But, you know, that dreadful moment where that letter just drops to the letterbox and says, you know, you've been got. You know, and you go, oh, no, or was it me? Or because you've got to do the thing about, you know, who's driving and all that kind of stuff. You know, you've been got. The law has caught up with you. And, you know, there's going to be something to be done about it. You know, actually, you know, it's a fine or points on your license, or, you know, there's a little bit of a kind of, I don't know what's the right word, a bit of a sort of, another chance, I suppose. Another chance to go on a speed awareness course. So we're going to hear all about that, after Dave's been on it tomorrow, which will be very exciting for us to hear about. I'm sure maybe there'll be a sermon based on that as well. We'll have to see in the future, won't we? But, you know, the law. It's, very important, isn't it, the law? And, you know, it's important for us to know it and understand it, although I think that's pretty impossible. There's so many laws and rules and regulations that we have to follow. Did you see this thing that apparently health and safety is over now? Did you see that this week in the paper? Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. But, you know, but actually, you know, it's, I thought it was a little bit, if you didn't see, I think the whoever it is in charge of the health and safety executive or whatever it is has said, oh, it's not all about us. We're all nice people. We don't put all these rules. It's other people who sort of add to them and make them more. And, oh, you give over. Just trying to I thought she was just trying to justify herself, to be honest. But, you know, it's kind of, that's a difficult balance to get right, isn't it? We know we need these rules and regulations to keep us safe. Health and safety is important. Who wants to go back to a place where, you know, people are dying in industrial accidents and all sorts of things like that? It's not all we want, you know? So it's important. But I think, you know, it's one of those strange things, isn't it? It highlights again that we have a love-hate relationship with rules, don't we? Actually, I think we have a love-hate relationship with rules and regulations and laws and all that kind of stuff. That we have to deal with. You know, I mean, who likes the law? Who appreciates being under it, especially when we're caught out by it? When the letter drops the letterbox which says the speed camera has got us, we don't, do we? We say, oh, you know, how can that be? Or why has that happened to me? Or, you know, why was I the unlucky one who got caught? You know, whereas we also know in our hearts that the truth is that, yes, actually, if we hadn't been speeding at the particular point where we went past the camera, we wouldn't have to face this now. It's a love-hate thing that goes on, isn't it? I remember, I don't know if you saw an episode of Top Gear where they had, must have been a few years ago, is it when the previous Labour government was in, and they had the Labour Minister of Transport on there. And Jeremy Clarkson is kind of, you know, giving it all that about speed cameras and, you know, the way he tends to do. And to be fair, I thought the guy handled it really well. He basically said, look, we put signs up, we paint them yellow, we'll tell you what the speed is, what else do you want us to do? You know, that's the truth of it, isn't it? We know that actually, if we break the law and we get caught, there'll be a price to pay, and in a sense, that's fair enough. So there's a bit of a hate thing goes on with the law and with rules and regulations more generally. But of course, actually, there's a bit of a love thing that goes on there as well. It's a hate-love kind of relationship. Because actually, in a way, we love rules and regulations and laws and things, don't we? I mean, our politicians are great at this, aren't they? You know, they can't, and I think the media sort of stoke it as well, they can't see a problem without legislating for it, can they? You know, they see a problem and basically, let's pass another law. Because actually, you know, that will sort it out, won't it? And if we think actually that we can do that with our politicians, do that, actually I think we're all prone to do that a little bit. In church life we can do it. You know, it can be like something will come up and actually, well, let's have another, you know, rule or regulation or something that will happen to try and make sure that, you know, this won't happen or whatever. That's really, in a way, where the Pharisees in Jesus' day had got to with the law, of course, given to Moses. We're going to think a little bit about that in a minute. But they sort of were so wanting to make sure they kept it that they put in all these other hundreds of other regulations to make sure that there was no possibility of them breaking the law that was given to Moses. But you know, I think actually that there's some things that law and its and the way it operates, rules and regulations and laws and rules, can't fix. It's a bit like, I think, the emperor's new clothes, actually. You know, we think it can solve all our problems, but actually, you know, it can't. And that's really goes to the heart of this famous passage that we've read from Galatians 5 this morning, commonly thought of as the fruits of the Spirit. You know, commonly thought of as that, a picture, a description of what we want God to transform us into, isn't it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, self-control, the fruits of the Spirit, the things that we want to be, isn't it? You know, when we talk about our vision statement of being a people transformed by God, transforming our community, actually, this is the description which Paul uses of the sort of people we then want to be, isn't it? A community of love, of joy, of peace, a community where we're patient with each other, where we're generous, where we're faithful, where we're self-controlled. And actually, when we talk about transforming the community around us, isn't that what we want to see in Mansfield and its surrounding area? People of love, a place of joy, a place of peace, a place where people are kind to each other, patient with each other, faithful to each other. You know, this is the picture, in a sense, of the transformation that the Holy Spirit brings. And this talk this morning is under the title, The Holy Spirit Transforms, the Holy Spirit who transforms us. So you might think, well, what does all this have to do with law and rules and regulations and all that kind of stuff? Why are you talking about that as well as all this nice kind of stuff that we like? We like hearing about that. We like the sort of idea that that's the sort of people we could be, don't we? You know, well, the point is this. It's only the Spirit, Paul says, who can transform us. Rules and laws and regulations can't do it. They can't take us there. It all starts back with this ringing declaration, back in verse 1 of chapter 5, actually, where Paul says this: it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now, you may remember, some of you, that were here on Pentecost Sunday a few weeks ago. I was preaching then as well. And we talked a lot about freedom then. A lot about freedom a few weeks ago on Pentecost Sunday when we gathered. And we talked, for those of you who weren't here or those of you who were, a little reminder, we talked about freedom from things and freedom for things. So Jesus, you see, came to free us. It says there clearly, Galatians 5:1, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's kind of, in a sense, for its own sake. Freedom is a virtue all on its own, for its own sake. It's a great thing to be free. In Jesus' death, he frees us from sin and its power. In his resurrection, he frees us from death. And then you may remember what we talked about. The giving of the Spirit is not just what we're freed from. At Good Friday, Easter, we're freed from, but at Pentecost, we rejoice that in the coming of the Spirit, we're freed for something. We're freed for the transformed life that God has for us. And Paul picks up the same theme here. What are we free from? Well, the law. Basically, we're free, he says, from the law. But, you know, if you do get one of those letters through your letterbox talking about speed cameras or whatever, or some other sort of misdemeanor, it's not going to work really as a defense, is it? Actually, when it says in Galatians 5:1, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So I'm not going to, you know, don't go there. It's not going to help. Because, of course, we're still subject to the laws of the land in which we live. And actually, if you read again, Paul picks this up in Romans 13 about the authorities being God's agents. So yes, what law is Paul talking about? Well, of course, he is on one level talking about the law given to Moses. the one, he says, and he says, we're free from that. Now, there are different parts of the law given to Moses. There's the ceremonial law. So, for men, circumcision. Okay, you can breathe a sigh of relief now, men, that we're free from that. Anyway, let's not go there. That's all sorts of very dangerous stuff down that particular alley. You can rejoice that we're free from that. I don't know whether you're looking forward to your nice roast pork dinner or maybe some nice pork sausages later on, actually, of course, we're free from those requirements of the law as well. We're not subject to the food laws. And of course, if you read through the New Testament, lots and lots of debates about these things, lots of debates about whether people in following Christ should be subject to particularly circumcision and the food laws. And they came to the conclusion, not least from this kind of writing from Paul, and Paul argued very strongly for it, that actually people following Jesus did not have to be bound by those ceremonial parts of the law, particularly if they were Gentiles coming to faith. What about, though, about the moral code? What about the other bits of the law? So, we know about the Ten Commandments, don't we? Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not. It seems to be, I'm sure if you went out, maybe even for us, but I'm sure if you went out into town and said, what do you think religion's all about? What do you think those Christians up at St. John's and St. Mary's are doing? They'd say, well, it's all about rules and regulations, isn't it? It's all about thou shalt not. It's just wanting to stop us from doing all these things that we like doing. And, it just wants to constrict us and all that kind of stuff. I think that's generally a picture which you wouldn't have to scratch the surface very much to find. Well, here's something a bit interesting. What does Paul say in this passage from Galatians 5? He says this, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Well, which bits of the law? Well, all of it. What, you mean that the ceremony? Well, the ceremony, that's fine, we can not be under those. But what about the other bits? Those shout not, are we not under them anymore then? Do they not count? Well, says Paul, this is a bit of a shock, and we are recording it. No. No, we're not under the law. We are not bound by the law. And I think you can take that in its narrow sense of the Mosaic law, or the wider sense of, in a sense, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are not people who are bound by rules and regulations and law. Well, I don't know about you, but I think in a way, when you think about it like that, that's actually a bit of a surprise. And yes, it does mean what it says. If you are lived by the Spirit, you are not bound by the law. It says it. And to an extent, if you're not bound by the law, what Paul says is you can do what you like. You can live in a way how you like. You are free from living in a way which is bounded by law. But of course, he doesn't leave it there. Because the question is this. The really interesting question, I think, is this. Paul says, well, if the question is, if the statement is you can do what you like, the next question is, so what are you going to do? How are you going to live? How are you going to know the right way to live if there's no laws and rules and regulations in this kingdom of God? How are you going to know? Because, we all want to live well, don't we? We want to, anyone else says that's what law helps us to do, isn't it? Law helps us to live well. It helps us to know that, we've got to do these things and agree these things, whether that's human laws or God's laws, it helps us to live well. That's its intention. Paul's quite clear about that, actually, that the law itself is good. But Paul is a very astute observer of human nature. Because he knows that if you want to make sure that you want somebody to do something, what's the quickest way to do it? Are you with me? To tell them to do the opposite, isn't it? If you put a sign up that says, thou shalt not do this, something in our human nature says, oh, I'm going to do it then. And that's just true, isn't it? As soon as you see a sign saying, don't walk on the grass, what do you just want to walk on the grass, don't you? It's just one of those things. That's just the way we're, and that's because, Paul says, we have a sinful nature. And our sinful nature, when it sees a commandment, can't but help think, do you know what? I'm going to break it. That's what it does. And that's why law in itself is good, but when it gets into our human sinful nature, it actually does something. It gets twisted. And we say, well, actually, do you know what? I'm going to do that then. Which is why, actually, that's the limits of law. Law can only take us so far. And in fact, laws are a very blunt instrument, often with unintended consequences. Have you noticed that? You know, something about unintended consequences of things. I mean, I don't know, one example for me, I don't know, we've got some doctors here, but I think it's right in saying that, you know, the toll target thing became about, you know, you've got to be able to see a doctor in a day, so actually, you can't book a doctor's appointment in some surgeries until the morning, because it's just, that sort of, do you know what it is? That sort of unintended consequences of the laws that we set out, they're done with the right intention, but they kind of lead us off in all sorts of strange directions. Well, says Paul, actually, we have to live a different way. He's calling us to a radically different view of life and a way of thinking about it, which actually, when we get hold of this, is completely revolutionary and difficult in the way we live, and quite difficult in some ways is to get our head around, because we're so steeped in this idea, both actually sometimes in our religious faith and in our world, about being constrained and bound by laws and rules and regulations. Verse 13 picks this question up. If we're free then how are we going to live? And what he says is this: you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. See, the problem is that in our culture, indulging the sinful nature is exactly what we think freedom is about. What does he say? He says that the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. You know, Paul is an astute observer of human nature. He knows that that's what, and in Roman times it's no different than from what it is today. You know, he knew that actually, if you just said to people, well, you can do what you want, you're free to do what you want, then our sinful nature actually wants to be indulged by that. And it wants to say, do you know what, I'm going to go down all these different roads. Whether that's sleeping with who we want, gossiping about each other, getting ahead, whatever the cost, drinking excessively, taking drugs, watching pornography, whatever it is, you know, those can be sometimes the freedoms that our culture seems to value. But Paul reminds us that actually this isn't freedom at all. To think of those things as freedom is just a mirage. See, gossiping, it doesn't bring freedom, does it? It just traps us. Because when we gossip about somebody else, we say, you know, then we're worried they're going to find out. You know, sleeping around doesn't bring freedom. It just traps us into webs of hurt and broken commitments. Getting ahead in a selfish way doesn't bring freedom. It just alienates us from our colleagues and the people around us. Some of those other things I mentioned that trap us in addictions and patterns of addictive behavior. Do we need to say any more about them? Far from setting us free, these are the things that hold us back. They seem to offer so much, but leave us with nothing. Paul has a much richer view then of freedom, because it is from these things that Christ wants to set us free. But as we've said a number of times, as I said a few weeks ago, I said again this morning, it's not just freedom from, it's freedom for. We're freed for a better way of life. Freed to live out the vocation and call that God has for each one of us. And it's right there in this very famous verse from verse 22, often called the fruits or the harvest of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And actually, most people, when they think of that verse, will stop there. They'll stop there. But actually, you've got to read on for the next phrase, because that's the bit that always stays with me. What is he? He lists out these lists of wonderful, godly virtues, and then he says this: against such things, there is no law. Against such things, there is no law. You see, law, rules, regulations cannot produce these things in us. It is not capable of doing it. Law interacts with our sinful nature to produce a harvest of death. But the Spirit interacts with our nature to bring a harvest of life. Against these things, there is no law. You know, actually, isn't this the sort of people we want to be? Isn't this, at least in our better moments, the kind of people we want to be? And we know that this is the right way to live, don't we? It's the way we want to be treated by others, and it's the way, you know, we want to treat others too, I hope. And the best thing, says Paul, you see, if we live like this, we don't need law. See, if you're living that way, you don't need laws to tell you what to do, do you? If you're kind and gracious and generous, if we exercise self-control and faithfulness, we don't need laws. We don't go past them. It's not kind of it's not that there's no right or wrong. It's just that we don't need law to tell us how to live. It's a different way of life. It's a different route. So it's kind of like, yes, there are still things there are definitely things that we want to avoid, but we won't avoid them by saying, don't go there, thou shalt not. We avoid them by actually not wanting them anymore, by allowing the Spirit to change our habits and our desires and our patterns of life so that we're faithful and gentle and kind and generous and self-controlled. But the Spirit does what the law cannot. And yeah, that's true for the law given to Moses, and it's true actually for the laws given even by our own parliament or even by our own church council, whatever it is. I mean, do you know what? If you think about it, if speed cameras could stop us speeding, then we wouldn't need them, would they? It almost becomes, it disappears up its own whatever. Good, I like getting into trouble. It's nice to see you're awake. That's great. Right, so if we live like this, we can live like this if we're led by the Spirit. What does it end with? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Our sinful nature, says Paul, has been crucified. You don't need to worry about that anymore. So, he says, be what you are and keep in step with the Spirit of God. You know, that's why actually, and you think about these things, that's why prayer and worship and studying the Scriptures and basing our lives on this story in this book, not on all the other stories that are told to us about how we should live, but on this story of God's love. That's why we need to understand it and to read it and to open ourselves to it, you know, day by day, really. You know, that's why we need to pray. That's why we need to come to worship. That's why we share around the Lord's table in bread and wine. Because these are ways that we open ourselves up again to the Spirit of God working amongst us. And as we're led by the Spirit, as we keep in step with the Spirit, so we find that we don't need laws and rules and regulations anymore. And that's the way, this is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart of our faith. You know, that Jesus in his death and resurrection and in the giving of the Spirit have set us free from sin and death and given us, as Jesus says in John 10:10, I offer you life in all its fullness. And this is the way to find it. This is the way that we've been called to live, by the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us. And it was always supposed to be that way. In this great prophecy from the Old Testament, the Lord says this, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. What does he mean by that? Well, you say, well, is that law again? Well, yes, but it's that law which is internal, isn't it? It's internalized within it. And we know what's the right thing to do, not because it's written down externally, but because it's written on our hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the best news of all, you know, is this, and we're going to end this here, and this is the finally. You know, the best thing of all is God wants to lead us. We're pushing, when we come to God and say to the Holy Spirit, come and guide us and lead us, you know what? We're pushing an open door. He wants to meet us there. Just think of that story of the prodigal son where the father runs to meet the son. He wants to meet us. He wants to lead us. He's crying out. He's waiting for us to come to him and say, Holy Spirit, fill us and lead us and guide us. He doesn't want us to be bound by rules and laws and regulations. He wants to write his law in our hearts by the power and the imprint of the Holy Spirit upon us. So when we come to worship, when we come to prayer, when we come to study his word, when we come to share in communion together, these are not just nice things to do. These are the vital places where we find the source of our life and the right way to live, both personally and as a community together. Just one, this is the final thing. We had a picture recently, this week. It goes like this. There is a moving pavement like the one at airports. There are people on this and moving along easily. There are people running either side of the pavement. Some are getting left behind. There are some keeping up with the pavement, but it's taking a great effort on their part. You know, and I've been praying a bit about that this week after I received it. I didn't receive the picture, but it was given to me, and I've been praying about it. You know, I think, I don't know, when you go to an airport and you see those travelators or those moving pavements, you know, I don't know what you do. You have a choice, don't you? You can get on the moving pavement, and it will take you where you want to go. Or you can choose to go around it and try and get there yourself. You know, this is an invitation, I believe, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit upon us to say, let's get on the pavement and let God take us where he wants us to go. Because actually, if we decide to go round, or not get on his way, then actually we'll never get there. It's great to welcome our children and young people back amongst us as we come to share to communion. But let's just, as we do that, let's just stand together. I don't know whether there are some folk here who the Christian life has just felt like it's become following laws and rules and regulations. You feel like it's just become, and it's all become a bit dry and a bit dusty. And a bit hard work, quite frankly, a bit like trying to push your heavy trolley up an airport causeway when there's a moving travelator next to you that will take you there. So just invite the Holy Spirit now to come. Just as our children are coming back, it's great to welcome them back. Just invite the Holy Spirit to come and show you a different way to live. So Holy Spirit, particularly for people who, if it's always become a bit dry and dusty, a bit about rules and laws and regulations, Lord, show us, I pray, a different way to live. Come, Holy Spirit, and move upon us and move amongst us now. Amen.
So we remain standing. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by his cross. We meet in his name and we share his peace. So the peace of the Lord be always with you. So let's share with one another a sign of God's peace.